The journey from white-collar worker to Uber driver we know is real, and our next guest has talked very openly about it. Steve Scherer was a foreign correspondent for Bloomberg and Reuters for 26 years in Italy and then in Canada. And then Reuters laid him off. And he returned to the United States last summer to a country that to him seemed darker than when he left nearly three decades ago. A country now where Gen Xers like him and like me have to contend with a new technology challenge, AI. Scherer wrote about it on Substack and in a piece in The Nation called From Foreign Correspondent to Uber Driver. Steve Scherer, nice to meet you. Welcome to Here and Now.
Nice to meet you, too. I'm happy to be here.
So not long ago, you were bureau chief, a journalist in Ottawa with a wife and three children, owning a house. When you were laid off, what happened then?
Wow, that's a big question.
Yeah.
I mean, to sum it up, I spent 2 years without a job, and I had to leave Canada. I had to sell my house.
As a U.S. citizen, yeah?
As a U.S. citizen, I had to sell my house and move back to the United States after having really set up my career living abroad and being a foreign correspondent. So it was a big change. You know, I had my kids in school. I owned my home, and it just kind of all fell apart. And I couldn't put it back together. You know, I found myself kind of in the position that a lot of immigrants find themselves in, which is I just didn't have the legal ability to work in the country where I lived.
And so you decided to move to the D.C. area, look for a job. What was it like job hunting in your 50s?
It was very different from my experience when I was young. I remember I showed up in Italy in 1998. I was already a journalist. I spoke Italian, so I had, you know, a couple things going for me. But I just physically went around to the newsrooms and asked them, hey, are you guys looking for anyone? Mm. And I found somebody who was. And that led to 21 years as a wire journalist.
Wow.
in Rome.
Reminds me, I found my first journalism job in something called the classifieds, in something called the newspaper.
Yeah, and I had a physical resume that I would hand off. And, you know, I was talking to people face-to-face.
And then you find yourself now, you run into AI as your resume is being kind of scoped by employers when you put your resume in LinkedIn. But as you write, you did an interview, maybe more than one, with an AI bot.
Yeah, I was just one. It was the first I've ever done, and hopefully the last. I doubt it will be, but, one can always hope. It was very awkward. I don't know if I'm sure some listeners have done them. And it had flipped the tables on me because I had been interviewing pretty important people, policymakers like, you know, prime ministers, central bankers, CEOs. That was what I did for 25 years. And then all of a sudden I'm being interviewed by a machine.
An algorithm.
Yeah.
And as you're looking, you start to drive Uber. And what I find interesting is, as you write, you start to really feel a connection to your passengers, yeah?
Yeah, and also I think to what I feel like is kind of an economic drift and certainly a moral one among the ruling class, you know, in the United States today. And I found within the immigrant community, you know, very hardworking.
Who you drove around?
Who I drove around. I'd pick them up usually really early in the morning and take them to work, but very stoic and just got about their day and trying to make a living and do things that, would help them get ahead in life. But they were there, you know, cleaning the hotel rooms, serving us food, taking care of us in hospitals, teaching our children as well, a lot of school teachers.
So it was kind of, you were suddenly in the service economy, giving rides to the service economy.
Yeah, exactly. But also, I think, and this is something that I had done in my career. I covered the European migration crisis.
Yeah.
And so I had, you know, seen a lot of immigration and talked to a lot of migrants over the years. And for the first time, I kind of found myself in their shoes. And I found myself in a country that doesn't think very highly of immigrants for some reason, because, you know, it's made of immigrants. It's a much more diverse country, the United States, than Italy, for example, where I lived for more than 20 years. And so I don't really understand this fear, it seems to me, of immigrants.
Well, as you write, you came back to a darker America than the one you left in the 90s. Tell me more about what you mean.
Well, I mean, I left in 1997, and okay. I came back last year. So I missed about three decades of American life. But when I left, Bill Clinton was in office, Friends was on television. I mean, it was a different time. And I think politics was different. Yes, there were Republicans and Democrats, but they, you know, they occasionally cut a deal, you know, and they occasionally tried to do what was best for the country, even if it wasn't exactly in line with what their, you know, ideological bent was supposed to be as a Democrat or as a Republican. And also abroad, there was a very different, I'd say, understanding of America, because for 80 years, the United States was the superpower, but it was a superpower that seemed to have a goal of creating more democracy in the world, of creating alliances and multilateralism and expanding the global economy and working with allies. You know, for the most part, I was pretty proud to be an American when I was living abroad.
Yeah.
And that has changed. It's very uncomfortable now.
Can you talk about what it was like? I mean, you write about being angry in the depths of your job search, what you were angry at. Can you talk a little about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough question. So I ended up coming to the United States. My family went to Italy. My wife's
Italian. Where your wife is from, okay.
That's right. And I had to find a job. So I came to Virginia, and I ended up living in a basement apartment with no windows and by myself for the first time in 20 years. Mm. And so I felt that, you know, loneliness and isolation that I hadn't felt, you know, in a long time. And also just in the situation where everything I was doing to find a job wasn't working. And nobody seemed to think that someone who spent 30 years outside of the United States and spoke another language and understood different perspectives and had worked as a journalist as well. So, you know, I'm an expert on a lot of different things because of 30 years doing it, you know, economics, politics, diplomacy. And none of that seemed to matter to anyone. And I just found that there was no value in my perspective here. It just didn't seem to get me anywhere. And that was incredibly frustrating. And I was looking around at different things. You know, that's how I ended up doing an AI interview. I thought, well, I'll start doing tax returns, you know, and see if that works out. So, you know, I was just really just kind of flailing in the dark, I guess.
Yeah. Well, the good news for you now recently, you're back in journalism, right? You have a job that brings you into downtown D.C. Tell us briefly your situation now. Is your family back in the States?
Yeah, I'm living with my kids. They're with me now, and so is my wife. She's still trying to iron out her immigration issues.
Oh, Italian citizen.
Exactly. So she's kind of going back and forth. But I've got my family back together, which is really the thing that was the hardest for me, you know, just to be without my three kids. They're all teenagers, all in the same high school.
Well, now. It's so good to hear that they're with you. Finally, Steve, I want to ask how you reflect on this journey as a Gen Xer facing AI, a technology that, of course, is changing the job market and how we live, how we work.
I mean, I guess the irony of my situation was, you know, Uber actually saved me in a way, because when I started driving Uber, I was inspired to write something in the first person. It's not something I'd done in 30 years, at least. My point here is that the algorithm brought me back to myself. Like, I found my voice in the first person.
Yeah.
I sort of found my center as a man, you know, in his middle ages, trying to deal with health issues and everything else. And, you know, essentially, publishing that story allowed me to find work again, I think, too.
Yeah.
And so it really did save me. And I think that, you know, I am fearful of all the changes that we're all facing. But I also believe that in the end, you know, it's the human element that counts. But I do think that the adjustment, economically speaking, having been an economics correspondent for many years, is going to be really difficult.
We've been talking to Steve Scheer. He was a foreign correspondent for Bloomberg and for Reuters for 26 years, and he wrote the article From Foreign Correspondent to Uber Driver, again in The Nation, and he is working once again as journalist in D.C. Steve, thank you very much.
Thank you.